Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for all you folks, for Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, for Rabbi Eric Greenberg. We want this to be the best year ever for all our friends, family, and loyal listeners worldwide.
Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one radio show. You might be wondering why this is so. Memorable quotes, life lessons, and so much more. The Coach's Corner will make you soar. All outstanding guests that we love to feature. You will find the show to be the best teacher. Great authors like Ted Siuba and Bernie Siegel. Awesome leaders that soar like an eagle. Beverly Nadler with Here's to Your Health. Home business opportunities to increase your wealth. Kurt's impersonation and improvisation add to the show's transformation, broadcasting live across America and around the globe with timely topics and issues to probe. The chat room is always fun. We see your comments and appreciate each one. Want to change your life? Change your approach.
And hire me, Joyce Barry, to be your life coach. And I welcome that opportunity. Today, folks, as we celebrate the holidays, we are honored and blessed to have Rabbi Joseph Potasnik and Rabbi Eric Greenberg celebrate the holidays with us. Both rabbis are very wise, wonderful, and witty. They have much to contribute to you, regardless of your faith. Listen in, lighten up, and learn from these masters of motivation and inspiration. And folks, you don't have to be Jewish. So first, let me welcome to the show Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, Executive Vice President of the New York Board of Rabbis, and one of my favorite guests of all time. Welcome, Rabbi.
Well, thank you so much. When it said Joyce Barry and Friends in the plural, I guess that refers to Eric and me. When we're not on, it's just Joyce Barry, so I get it.
Yes.
Right.
So where would you like to start?
Joyce, it's very easy to be negative. I told someone recently, they don't put statues in public squares for critics. Anybody can be a critic. But to be an author, to write something that's positive, something that's constructive, that's challenging, especially during these times. So what I'd like to begin with is to tell you that the relationship between the Jewish and Christian community in America is, I believe, at its very best. And I say that for a host of reasons. Recently in Brooklyn, there were statues of a Catholic church that were smashed. I want you to know that members of the Jewish community, the Christian community, and the Muslim community stood together and said, this is our responsibility, and we contribute as the Board of Rabbis, as Muslims did, as other groups did, and said to the Catholics, let us rebuild for you. Pittsburgh was a horrific moment in the history of the Jewish people, but the response to Pittsburgh was a historic moment for all people, because when you walked into synagogues the following Shabbat, you saw many members of different faith constituencies standing together and said, we are with you. It's our responsibility to confront the challenges of hatred. I was just with the District Attorney of Brooklyn, Eric Gonzalez, who established a hate crimes bureau, not a task force, as many have, but a bureau. Now, I know it's shameful that we have to have a bureau, but what Eric Gonzalez has said is that we, of all communities, are going to work together to look at this problem, because this is not just a Jewish problem. This is a problem for all of us. And, you know, we've often said it starts with Jews, but it doesn't stop with Jews. So I do want to say that in spite of the pain of the present, there is a lot of, I think, hopeful moments, in that we all realize that we cannot combat the challenge alone. We have to cooperate. We have to communicate. And we're doing that. The vice president of Maimonides Hospital, Doug Jablon, said to me that not long ago a call was made by the hospital to the community for blood donations. And members of the Muslim community said that we are here to give blood to this needy patient. Now, the patient happened to be an Orthodox Jew, but that didn't matter to this giving group. They didn't ask what's the race, religion, or what they want to know is how can we help. And I think if we look at life in that fashion, if we look through that optimistic lens, we can be a little more hopeful. That doesn't mean we remove the negativity. That doesn't mean that we don't address it. But the question is how best to address it. And I think when we see the best of people, we can look at the worst of our problems and find how are we going to solve them.
Amen.
Amen. How are we going to solve them? That question seems so much bigger than all of us. It's just so overwhelming, everything that's going on. I can't even imagine how anyone could take that question on with everything going on.
Yeah, look, but I think solutions are found in relationships. I know Eric for a number of years, and we've turned to each other. We've spoken about various issues. We both recognize that we need to enlarge that circle. We need to find more people to stand with us. And we've done that. I was with the members of the LDS, the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon community last week. Eric was there. And I can tell you that there's a community with which we shared some major disagreements. But we found a way to work together to solve those disagreements and to emerge stronger. And today the Mormon community are strong supporters of Israel. They seek to strengthen relations with the Jewish world. We have friends. So, you know, if you only look at pages 1 through 3 of most newspapers, you're going to feel depressed. But maybe if you begin on page 4 or 5, you'll find some stories there that need to get prioritized attention that show us to be better than who we are on pages 1 through 3. So I think religious tradition, Jewish tradition, always says that we have to find the light in the midst of darkness. That's what Hanukkah is all about. Look, the Maccabees could have easily walked away from that horrific scene, the destruction of a sanctuary, and said, what good is it all? Why should we even bother? But they searched diligently. They found oil. They lit the candles, you know, and they brought new light to that area. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Find light wherever we can in the midst of darkness. Be your beacons of hope. And I think we in the faith communities try to do that. Look what's going to happen tonight. You know there are many Christians who will be celebrating Christmas, and there will be Jewish volunteers in so many places who have said, we will represent you tonight. So if you go to some of the hospitals where there are volunteers, there are Jewish volunteers, because they said this is your evening to their Christian brothers and sisters. This is your night. This is our responsibility to be there for you. And when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, Christians say to us, we're there for you. So I was just talking to a funeral director. Before I got on the phone with you, I was talking to a funeral director who's Jewish. Her coworkers are not Jewish. She said to them, look, I'm coming in today. I'm working a double shift because you are not to be here. You go to church. You spend time with your family. I will represent you. That's what's being done in many places. Those stories don't get pages 1 through 3 in newspapers. Those stories deserve our attention.
Yes, but problem is we're not hearing enough of stories like that. We're not hearing enough about the secret Santas, people that like Tyler Perry paid off thousands of dollars on hold away items at Walmart. There's just so many things like that that are happening that get barely a smack of attention, and we're bombarded day after day, minute after minute with breaking news, and it's all negative. So, Rabbi, what do we do about that?
I was in a firehouse this week, and the boxes are overloaded with toys, new toys. People are saying make sure these get to, you know, the homeless shelters, the places where they're needed. We can't eradicate all of the difficulties of the world, but we can try to diminish them. We can, just because you can't cure doesn't mean you don't care. So I think it's our responsibility to take our darkened area and bring some light. I think I once told you that there's a community in America where the town hall has no electricity. You have to bring a lantern. Everybody comes with a lantern. And if you don't have people bringing lanterns, you have some darkened areas. Our job, as we are the religious lamplighters, we have to bring light wherever we go, because otherwise there's going to be an overwhelming amount of darkness that consumes us. So look around, look at people you care about, and I think you're going to find there are some very, very positive stories that can inspire you for the new year, new calendar year.
So, Rabbi, I think these stories is great, especially I love the interfaith ones. You were the one who introduced me to Father Brian McWeeny, who is our special guest tomorrow on Christmas Day. He honors us every year. Are you still going to the Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve with him?
Yeah, every year, Eric Greenberg, Rabbi Greenberg, always asks me what time it begins. And coincidentally, the Midnight Mass begins at midnight. But it is a moment. I'll never forget years ago, Cardinal O'Connor. I used to attend the Midnight Mass with former Mayor Ed Koch. O'Connor would come out, about 20 minutes before the Mass, come around the side, come over to us and say, "I think we have a minion here tonight. I think we have 10 Jews. We can start the Mass." Now, O'Connor would then get up. And I remember one of his great moments at St. Patrick Cathedral was when he turned to the audience and he said, "You know, I never seek for Jews to become Catholics. I don't seek for Catholics to become Jews. What I wanted for Jews to be better Jews, Catholics to be better Catholics." The definition, I think, of a good Jew is one who becomes or seeks to become a better Jew. So here you are. You have Brian McWeeny, a father, on one of the busiest days of his calendar, devoting time to come on your program and talk about what Christmas means to him. You're of the Jewish faith, Joyce. He obviously is Catholic, and yet he doesn't take the position, "I have more important things to do." No, he says, "I have a lot of important things to do, but I'm going to dedicate at least an hour to spend time with my Jewish friend tomorrow and be able to talk about a holiday that has meaning for me." Only in America. Mm-hmm. That's a great moment. That's something that should not be minimized. And there are a lot of great moments, but you have to search them.
I'm so grateful that he does that, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person. He has never turned me down, and he's always so efficient in having it all come together and work. And he's told me that he goes to religious Jewish services with you.
He does, and Rabbi Greenberg can attest to the fact that whenever you have a gathering of Jews at some program, there's Father Brian McWeeny.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, a few weeks ago, there was a horrific storm in New York. Traffic was paralyzed. And I'm walking down the street, and on 2nd Avenue, I see Father McWeeny. And it's pouring out. And he's trying to hail a cab. And there were no cabs to be found. And he doesn't have an umbrella. Now, my mother would have criticized him severely for not having an umbrella. But I had one. So I said, "Father, I tell you what, we're going to share this umbrella. I live not far from here. I'm giving you the umbrella to take home, but there are two conditions attached to this. One, I'm going to stand with you until a bus comes," because you couldn't get a cab. "Two, you're going to call me when you get home so I know you get home safely." Well, let me tell you, it took a while for that bus to come because traffic was moving very slowly. And secondly, he didn't get home till 2 hours later.
Wow.
And I was really frantic. I said, "Oh, my God, I hope nothing happened. I'm waiting for his call." And then finally called, and he said, "The bus moved so slowly that, you know, but I promised you I would call, and here I am. Now, that relationship he has with us, to me, is very, very heartening. It's very reassuring. We care about each other. Whether it's a rainstorm or whether it's a storm of hatred, no matter where, we're there for each other. So, again, you have a choice. You can walk away and feel very disheartened by what you see, or you can feel uplifted by what you see. I'm not ignoring one side, but I want to make sure I see both. And it's the positive side that diminishes the pain of the negative. And by the way, there is so much negativism out there, and rightfully so. I mean, when you see what goes on in Washington, when you see the divide, when you see people who just belittle others who may disagree, when you see the lack of respect, and I think that's where it begins. There's just no respect for difference anymore. That's a shameful situation. But I may not be able to change people in Washington, but I know I can try to change the area in which I live by trying to have a positive influence on others, and they on me. So let's not retreat to our enclaves and not come out. Let's say, you know what, we're going to remain committed to the cause. We're going to try to make a difference in life, and hopefully people will follow us and we'll follow them, and we'll be the majority, because I think the majority of people are good and caring and compassionate. I see the response to various appeals that we make throughout the year. We're a good people, but when we're silent or when we're passive, then we allow others to take over. I think one of the things elections have taught us is everybody has to vote. Everybody has to vote. You want change? You're not happy with the status quo? Well, don't just complain about it. Go to the ballot box. In the last election, the turnout was tremendous because people said, I am going to voice my concern. And there were lines. I remember going to vote. I said, I've never seen such lines. But all of a sudden, people were, reawakened. They said, we don't want to see a continuation of what's going on. And there were changes that were made. So there's hope for the future, but you have to be an instrument of that hope.
Well, we got to keep the hope. We got to keep faith to keep on going. I just heard a great acronym for faith: forward all issues to heaven. Favorite all things to heaven. I thought that was pretty good. And
well,
Rabbi,
you know what? We got to look upward.
Ahead.
That's what religion says. When you go to a synagogue, when you go to a church, when you go to a mosque, you look heavenward. You want to simply look back or look down, where are you going to go? But if you look heavenward, then you're going to be inspired to move forward. So I hope that all of us will find those areas of optimism so that we can, find more meaning in the future. You look at the celebration for the new year, the calendar year 2019. You know, the ball comes down from Times Square and people cheering. Why? Why do they do that? Why do they all come together? It's not just for the drinking, because people, I think, are prisoners of hope. People want to say that this year is going to be better than the one in the past. You know, you always say, may this be your best year. You say that every year, because you always hope the new year will be even better than the previous one. And I think there is this need to be optimistic, and we realize that we only accomplish things when we are optimistic. Pessimists don't get too far.
I want to ask you, as a rabbi, do you find this year more trying than most, given people are not just dealing with personal issues, they're dealing with national issues, international issues? Do you find yourself particularly bombarded for people that seek your counsel?
I find there is this air of, I don't know if it's despair, but people are down.
Anxiety.
Anxiety. People are feeling probably less hopeful right now. They're seeing the pain of the present. Look, again, there's so much divisiveness, dangerous divisiveness. One group doesn't talk to the other. We have a shutdown. We have a shutdown in Washington, shameful shutdown. But look at all the other shutdowns. We shut down the other person. You go on college campuses today, you don't like what's being said, shut it down. prevent the person from speaking. Some students are pro-Israel, shut them down. So the shutdown has become, you know, part of human behavior, where we simply do not permit people with different points of view to express themselves. I think that's happening more. So I think, Joyce, you're right. I think there's much more gloom in the air than before. Now the question is,
gloom,
how do we address
it? Gloom and doom. Gloom and doom.
Yeah.
Breaking news every 30 seconds, all bad. So I really like that faith forward all issues to heaven. But as I asked you, Rabbi, do you find yourself more bombarded this year than prior years? I would think yes.
I think so. I you know, I don't have metrics on that, but I do feel that people are there's more negativism in the air. As Eric said, there's more anxiety. I think people feel that, you know, it's becoming tougher to make it. It's becoming tougher to smile, just to be hopeful. It is difficult when you're mired in all of these negative reports. It's very hard to stay positive, but that's what religious people do.
I asked you that question about you and your counsel because I have heard from psychiatrists they're overwhelmed with people. They can barely keep up with appointments. So there's several industries they've never seen anything like what's going on. And when you talk about divisiveness, what's really sad is divisiveness even within our own family and best friends. So it isn't just, people encounters with people, you know, over there on the other side. No, it's our own family, our own friends. I find that I can't even, it's really hard for me to even talk to these people.
Well, you're cautioned by a therapist that when you get together for the holidays, don't talk about politics. Now, I remember years ago when I was growing up, politics was part of the experience. We could talk. We could have different points of view. We didn't break relationships because we differed with one another. That's the test of relationship. How strong is your relationship? Well, it's predicated on the fact that you can say whatever you want to say, you can be who you want to be, and still love the other person. You know, the word for love and the word for responsibility are very similar in Hebrew. And love comes with responsibilities. You don't walk away from someone because that person takes on a different position than you do. You have a responsibility to stay connected. That's what love is all about. That's what unconditional love is all about. It's not conditioned on agreement. Very easy. You know, I have friends of mine, we go out to eat. They always like to order, well, you got to have this, you got to have that. I said, I don't want that. I want to order what I want to order. You know, there are people like to order for you. And there are people who want to tell you what you should feel.
Right.
What you should think. That's not a healthy situation. But you're right. We're much more fragmented. And I have to say this: the Jewish people, we also have, you know, let's be very candid. We have some serious problems. We have, denominations. Our strength is found in denominations. But we also have those of different denominations who don't spend time talking to one another, who are very comfortable being isolationists. You know, they want to just stay within their own community and not converse with others. That's not a healthy position, especially when you're 0.1% of the world's population. You can't write off people. We need as many people as possible. So, Joyce, I'm going to continue to be the optimist. You know, what do they say? The pessimist carries around that card that says, I'm a pessimist. If anything happens to me, if anything negative happens to me, I'm not surprised. You know, there's no reason to be hopeful. I mean, if you wake up in the morning and you're despondent, so what's your inspiration to go through the day? You might as well just stay in bed and say, well, what's the sense of it all? And if you have kids and you can't convey to them some hope for the future, what's the sense of it all? I had a phone call early this morning from a group that's put together educational programming for those in prison, right? An educational program where you can get an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, even if you're in prison, because today so much is done online. Now, what does that say? that says, you know what, we're not giving up on you. You went to prison. You committed a wrong. You're paying a price, but that doesn't mean that the price is forever. You're going to come out one day, and we want you to come out and rebuild your life. Now, you can't do that unless you have some educational credentials. So, and by the way, these are two religious women, one from Brooklyn, one from Muncie, two religious women who have drafted an educational program suitable for Jews and non-Jews, for the general public, those in prison. So, again, now, remember, if you're facing a sentence in prison, that's not something that's going to bring you a lot of positive spirit. But if you say, you know what, as long as while I'm here, I'm going to do something about it, I'm going to try to make it better when I get out, then you have something to look forward to. Well, I think we have to use the same kind of thinking as we're prisoners, again, prisoners of hope. I think that's the message this year. We're imprisoned because all of the negative, the doom and gloom, as you said, but one day we're going to, emerge from this. You know, there's a famous Hebrew expression, Gamzer Yavor, this too shall pass. When you're riding high, this too shall pass. There's going to be a time you're not going to ride so high. You're going to be down low. When you're low, there's going to be a time you're going to ride high again. Life is cyclical, and you try to go from one moment of angst to one moment of aspiration. So I think we live with both, the positive and the negative, and hopefully the positive outweighs the negative.
You know, what's different, though, in this particular year, we've had disagreements. You're on one party, Republican, I'm a Democrat, or I don't like this policy, that, but it's everything. It's just so overwhelming that the divisiveness is stronger than ever. It's more than an opinion that your party won, I didn't win. Every single thing is so obviously wrong that I can't relate to people who think what's going on makes any sense whatsoever. Children taken from their mothers at the border. How do you look at those pictures and not have a broken heart? How do you look at a government shutdown and not have a, right before the holidays, right during the holidays, everything that's going on makes zero sense except to feed one person's ego and have one person get their own way no matter what at any cost.
Well, you would expect a president of a country to use this moment to bring people together. You would expect a president of a country to have people aspire to doing better after any calamity, after any crisis. We say the president has a bully pulpit. Well, use it. Use it for positive reasons. Don't use it to just berate people all the time. Don't use it to separate people all the time. But unfortunately, we live in a climate where separation seems to work. You have a base. You appeal to your base. Who cares what everybody else has to say? They're not part of your base. And you strengthen from within by being nasty without. This is the mentality that some people have. So, how do we counter that? We're not going to change the president. It's not going to happen. This is who the president is. But we have the ability to do whatever we can to counter it by trying to form coalitions, form groups that stand together and say, we will not accept this behavior. And voting is part of that's the strength we have. Community building, that's a strength we have. So I think looking ahead, this is not a permanent condition. This is a temporary condition that is painful, but it's a temporary condition that will come to an end, and then hopefully we'll build a better world.
Hopefully we'll build a better world. And that starts with having people around like you, Rabbi, always inspiring, motivational. And we really appreciate your taking the time to be with us today. So on that note, as we bring on Rabbi Eric, I just want to know, since you introduced me to Rabbi Eric, what do you want to say about him? You know him so well. What would you like to share?
God help us.
Well, what I know about him so well, maybe I shouldn't say. Actually, he's a special human being. Eric Greenberg is the kind of rabbi you can bring to any audience, any place, and he will find a way to engage you in conversation. I've seen him interact with people of all different backgrounds and beliefs, And he has, you know, the unique ability of making every person feel that he or she matters, that he or she is part of the human family. He enlarges that circle. I've told you that Mother Teresa said years ago, we draw circles that are too small. We only include those who are the same as us. Eric Greenberg can draw a circle and put in that circle people who are different from one another and still make them feel that they belong to each other. That's what this holiday is all about. We say it's a mitzvah to bring light into the world. Well, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, any of the festivals usually have light in them. We begin with light, we celebrate with light. Eric Greenberg is a source of light and love wherever he goes, and we're very fortunate to have him. So let me wish you a happy holiday period. Let it be meaningful for you, the family, and hopefully we'll find more ways of bringing people into that circle of love and loyalty to each other.
Beautiful.
Rabbi, thank you so much for giving us your time, your passion, your energy, your goodwill. We really love you. Our only complaint, Rabbi, is that you're not on with us more often. So that'll be my first New Year's resolution, to make sure you're with us much more often for much more time.
Well, you know, Joyce, families have found sometimes the less time they spend together, the more they like each other. The more time they spend together, the relationship begins to become frayed. So don't be careful what you wish for. All right, I'll talk to you. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Be well.
Thanks, Rabbi Joe. And right before I bring in the wonderful, the extraordinary Rabbi, I just want to share why you folks should listen to this show every day, not just when we have our two favorite rabbis. So here, in the words of author and friend Beverly Nadler, is why you should be listening. And we mean every day.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day. A way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and Friends.com. And right under my picture on the upper left of the homepage, it says follow. Simply by clicking on that, you'll know about every show, every guest, every topic. When you cannot join us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern, you can hear any show anytime, 24/7. You can download them. You can email them to your friends and family and share. They're all positive, upbeat shows, informational, educational, inspirational shows. So do become a follower. And while you're at it, you can follow yours truly, Joyce Barry, on Facebook and Twitter. All the shows are posted in those venues as well. Facebook, Twitter, every show, every time. So do become a part of the Joyce Barry and Friends family. Do become one of the friends. Okay, we have Rabbi Eric Greenberg, a leading interfaith expert, communication and program director, and international award-winning reporter. And that's only 10 seconds of honors and awards. I could spend 2 hours just on telling you his resume and all the good he's been up to. Welcome to the show, Rabbi Eric.
Thank you, Joyce. You can continue. If you have 2 hours, continue reading from
this. I just have one question, and then you could take it wherever you want to.
Sure.
But the fact that you are an award-winning reporter, I can only imagine how hard it is to be a reporter in today's world. First of all, breaking news every 30 seconds. Secondly, being accused about fake news, more so the TV stations, but oftentimes the press as well. Do you miss the good old days?
Well, those days are gone, and it's really it's very profound what Rabbi Joe said earlier. You and he were talking about regarding the news, and especially you're saying breaking news. It's overwhelming for all the shows underneath. You know, the Chiron, as the moderators are talking, you read underneath, and every other second there's breaking news this and breaking news that. We didn't used to call it, you know, breaking news was reserved for a plane goes down somewhere. You know,
yes.
This is the 30th anniversary
yes.
of the Lockerbie plane tragedy, which I actually covered. So it reminded me a couple of days ago as people were commemorating. I think it was actually yesterday. People were commemorating the 30th anniversary of the plane that a terrorist bomb went off from
yes.
a plane headed for New York. And many of the victims were students, college students from Syracuse University. So I was working for a newspaper, and the idea was to try to find out as much information as possible. That's breaking news, you know. Something that happened, a tweet is not breaking news. You know, and we're overwhelmed by it. And you and Rabbi Joe were so right. It's such a negative experience every time you look at your smartphone, and those stories that are uplifting because of the state of newspapers and the media today. Newspapers are dying, and those that are surviving have fewer pages to devote to those kinds of stories that are uplifting. And we get less of that. And those are the kinds of stories, the wonderful somebody going out of their way to help another person, as Rabbi Joe said, the Muslim community in Brooklyn. I actually am friendly with the same person he mentioned at Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, Doug Jablon, who actually helped my father out several years ago. And Doug saying that the Muslim community stood up to donate blood to turns out to be an Orthodox, a patient. That's an inspiring story, and we need to find a way to get that out there, because those are uplifting and they're models for examples of how we should be dealing with each other. And there's lots of those stories, and we just don't get to hear about it. So the state of journalism today, as necessary as it is. We need more. We need to find a way to get those other stories out, and I suspect that community newspapers are a way to do that. The local community newspaper is a way to get those kind of stories out, and people should support their local community paper because, first of all, that's the only way they're going to get news about their neighborhood, and secondly, there are those inspiring stories that are contained there. On the other question that you ask about fake news, this is just a mean-spirited nightmare. There are more reporters today being killed trying to bring the public.
Yes, yes.
And people who and just this past year, at least seven, I think it was seven journalists and one ad person from a newspaper. In Baltimore, were killed when a gunman came into the newsroom and mowed them down, and
yes.
this is just horrific. And having the head of the United States continually calling the press the enemy of the people is just the founding fathers are turning over in their graves. Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson both said they'd rather have a free press than a government. That it's more important to have the free press. And again, these people, having been one of them, it's not a great paying job, and there's a sense of mission and dedication and public service that are involved with most, most journalists that I've ever worked with. And they put their lives on the line. I've actually had to do that a couple of times. You don't care about, you run to the scene. While people are fleeing, a disaster, the journalists run towards the disaster to be able to cover it, to bring the news, to understand what's happening to the public. They're not making millions of dollars doing it. They're doing it because they love what they do, and it's a sense of public service and mission. And to call those people enemies of the people is just horrendous and outrageous. So I never had to deal with that. This is a new phenomenon that we need to somehow put back in the bottle. Now that it's out and it's wrong and it's hateful, but people should really think about how it's because of journalists and brave and courageous journalists around the world that we're even getting to hear what's going on in Yemen, how our taxpayer money is being spent to, that lead to the death of and starvation of children in Yemen and the horrendous situation in Syria. Who's bringing us that news? It's reporters. And so, we need a whole new conversation in this country to educate people, even in grade school, in elementary school, in high school, about civics and about how the journalism, the fourth estate, is part of the way our democracy works. And we need to respect it and help it and support it by buying newspapers, by supporting the mainstream news organizations that are doing their best to, what I say is, get the best obtainable version of the truth. No one has the full truth, but the best we can do as journalists is get the best obtainable version, meaning digging for it and asking the tough questions. And those in Washington who hide from the tough questions or deny or lie, it's more about their corruption than about anything wrong with the state of journalism.
It's so scary what's going on. I think of all the reporters around the world that are imprisoned for simply reporting the facts. But the one that comes to mind the most is Khashoggi. He was murdered in an embassy. When you think of an embassy anywhere in the world, you think of freedom and safety. I mean, that news really got to me. I haven't recovered from it. It was so horrific and so disgusting. And, of course, the people behind it are this administration's their friends. When Trump said, we'll drain the swamp, he did drain the swamp. They all came out of the gutter and out of the sewer to infiltrate our world today, our planet, to make it a much worse place. So it's the slogan that says make America great again really is make America hate again and like never before. So it isn't just your opinion, my opinion, divisiveness. It's I can't even understand on any level him getting any kind of support except by neo-Nazis, haters, and people that are using the opportunity because they found a friend in the White House and with a party behind him that hasn't had the courage to stand up to him or say anything.
But I want to come back to something that Rabbi Joe said, and it's about being positive and using some of this space and time to look at the positives in the world, because we have enough of the negatives. All we have to do is turn on the TV, or look at your or look at your Twitter account or Facebook, which is another problem, by the way. But, you know, I want to say that besides being so wise and caring and just probably everyone acknowledges as a rabbi's rabbi, as Joseph Potasnik, he also comes with a sense of humility. And I want to share this because he wouldn't say it. And I was privileged and honored to be there last week. Think about this, the positive, and all of us said this, the positive experience of being in one of the largest churches in New York City, a Protestant church, where the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who formerly known as the Mormons, people know them as that, although that's not the term that they like using. So that's maybe a little education for people out there, not to call them Mormons anymore, but Latter-day Saints, members of the Latter-day Saints Church. And they sponsored a banquet at a Protestant church. So these are two different denominations, two different sets of beliefs, congregations, inviting to this gathering, to this banquet, imams and Sikhs, and Catholics. Brian McWeeny, of course, as we before mentioned, was there. Father Brian McWeeny from the Archdiocese of New York. Members of the New York Board of Rabbis on the board, which I am, and several of my colleagues. And, of course, one of the leaders of the Church of LDS Church, Latter-day Saints Church, flew in from Salt Lake City with several other officials. And why did they come? They came to honor Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, and he was the guest of honor at this banquet that
had
hundreds of people, coming into this church. Think about that, and everyone, people who knew each other already. I had been out to Salt Lake City several times on missions to meet with the leadership of the Latter-day Saints Church to start building positive relationships with between the Jewish community and their community, and that was years ago. So I knew some of these folks that had flown in from Salt Lake City, and so this was for me meeting with old friends. But for other people, it was a new acquaintance, a new relationship, and the spirit of positiveness and the spirit of collegiality and wanting to get to know someone from a different faith was just lighting the room, talking about bringing light into the darkness. And this for several hours, Rabbi Potasnik was praised and lauded from this, on stage by a group of officials for the work that he's doing. And it was just this doesn't get into the newspaper. I actually talked to Joe afterwards and said we need to somehow get this, word out that this is happening. People need to know this is happening. I actually wrote a little something about it on Facebook or something, but that's not getting it out that much. It needs to be out there that it's happening here in New York, and it's happening in all across the country that people are Muslim women and Jewish women, for instance, are meeting to discuss life cycle issues and what they have in common and what food and what the kinds of food that they prepare and the differences and the commonalities and then there are trialogues with the Catholic, Jewish, and Muslim women and men. It's happening all over, and we don't really get to focus on it because we're too overwhelmed by the negative news. But it's a struggle.
How did they get to Rabbi to make that whole thing in his honor? How did they specifically single him out? How did they find him?
Oh well, easy. Well, first of all, it's not hard. It's not hard to find Joe Potasnik. He's everywhere. He meets with the leadership of religious leaders all over the place, and I've been with him where it's amazing. We meet with Cardinal Dolan here in New York, the Archdiocese, and major evangelical leaders. So he's also very well known as a bridge builder. But specifically here, Joyce, he has met with We've had meetings. There's the Interfaith Committee for the New York Board of Rabbis, which I sit on, and we've had meetings with the local Latter-day Saints representatives here in New York. Last year, we met with several of the elders, they call them. They're the leaders of the Latter-day Saints Church. They flew in to specifically. They are very interested in increasing their relationship and good works with the Jewish community. There's a lot in common between the Latter-day Saints and the Jewish community. We're both very small religions in the world. In America, we're both about 6 million, 6-7 million people. So we're about the same size. They do believe that they're an extension of the Jewish faith. So that, you know, there's we have that in common. A lot of commonalities. They love Israel. They have a university in Israel, which they've agreed to not missionize anyone in Israel, which is an amazing thing that they've adhered to. So there's a lot of positives, but of course there are also some issues and problems, and as in any relationship. So we're working
about
on,
how many people were at that was it a dinner? Was it a
meeting?
It was
a dinner. Yeah, it was a dinner to and the honoree was Joe Potasnik. And the reason why Joe is because he has been one of the leaders in building this relationship. We had a meeting with some of the church leaders several months ago, and we agreed to start looking into how we can work together on humanitarian projects. And that's what I've been doing for many years also, is finding ways to work with, multi-faith relations is what I call it, and finding ways to get Christians and Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Sikhs to find projects that we can stand together shoulder to shoulder and work to help people in need. So, for instance, one of the things I was involved in was for Syrian refugees, these battered victims of this crazy war and assault and genocide on innocent Syrian women, children, men, that's been going on now for 2011, so it's almost 7 years. Millions of displaced people, around the world, either they're stuck in displaced within Syria, or millions who had fled Syria. They don't have anything. They need basic emergency supplies. And I put together a couple of years ago having all these religious members build emergency kits for them that we would contain things that they can't get, like a comb, a toothbrush, a nail clipper, for women, a rechargeable flashlight, because the assaults on women and children are huge and underreported, and at least this is a way for something to protect themselves in the dark. Women's sanitary napkins, because they don't have that if you're a refugee fleeing in the desert, for your life. So,
and these are just the basic necessities.
Basic necessities of life that we put together with we built 15,000 kits, and the organization continues to do so today, and we send them over and get them to the refugees. And I had 1,000 people sign up from all the religions, and they loved it. At the end of the day, they said to me,
"Wow,
Eric, when's the next one? I love this. I love standing next to I'm a Hindu, and I'm standing next to a Sikh or a Catholic. When we're talking about like what we have in common and what neighborhood you're from, and we get to know each other." And so there's these kind of activities that really is God's work, and I think if you step back, that this is exactly what God has in mind for how we should be behaving here. And Joe Potasnik is one of the great leaders of this. And so,
about how many people were at that dinner? I'm just curious.
At the dinner? At the dinner?
Yeah.
I actually asked that question. I believe there were about four or 500 people.
Oh my God! So it was huge.
So huge.
And it
yeah,
didn't
and
get any play in the news.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, that, and that's, and that's, that comes back to our point. Our point is that here's this positive thing that's happening, and you know, it's completely overwhelmed, and I understand it. It's completely overwhelmed by, you know, the existential threat to the United States of America. A nice little dinner where a rabbi is being honored by, you know, by the Church of Latter-day Saints is not going to necessarily make it into the paper when the very national security of America is at stake. So I get that. But on the other hand, there's got to be a way to get that story in somewhere.
Yeah, that's why I asked the number of people. I'm thinking you're going to say 25 people honored
no,
him.
No, no, no. There were 400
and
people there, yeah.
That's why I asked. And you referenced it on your Facebook, Rabbi Eric. What is your Facebook? How could we find you on Facebook?
Well, actually, you know, I put the story on my LinkedIn page. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know, however that works. Actually, you know what I could do? I could send it to you, and your listeners can if you want to post it on your website. That's a good
yeah,
way
I
to
do
it.
But I want to know how, when I go to Facebook, how do I find you? You said it was there as well.
Well, I think did I say Facebook or Twitter? You know, let me double check. I'm going to send it to you.
You said Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I asked.
Yeah, I'll send
check
it to
that.
You.
If you want to send anything to me, you could send it to joycebarry@aol.com. That's
you
fine.
You got it.
You reference contributions. What is the link for people that want to get involved with that and make a contribution?
Well, for this particular endeavor of building, you know, the emergency packets. It's the Multi-Faith Alliance for Syrian Refugees, and that's the name of the organization. You could look them up, and you could say, whoever's listening and wants to do that, say, I sent you, and you'd like to know more about it and help out. Because they're
The fact that it's all necessities, I think that is awesome and really important. I'd love to see them get to the level of it's also what they love and what they enjoy. This is survival.
This starts a survival. It does start a survival, and so you know there's that. But these are again these positive stories that come out, and here we are this time of year, and you know tonight is I never forget every year at this time it's Christmas Eve, and my mother, Shalom, who passed several years back. Would tell me when I was a kid, she said, what she loved doing, you know, she's the daughter of Holocaust survivors, and growing up in Brooklyn, New York, I know you know something about Brooklyn, and she...
Yes.
Yes, and she, I never really placed it. You, when you get older, you're able to put things into context. So while the World War II is going on, and while the Holocaust, which we really didn't know much about back then, right, in the 40s and 50s, early 50s, she was going to Midnight Mass. She loved it. She had Christian friends. She had Catholic friends in Brooklyn. And she just liked the whole vibe of going and the singing and all that. She was, you know, a dedicated Jew. My grandfather, her father, was a Kohen, from the priestly family. And, you know, went to services, went to synagogue. But on Christmas Eve, she just liked going with her friends. And putting that's where I got, you know, this bringing up of that we're all together in the community and we can share things. That doesn't mean, as Joe says, to be a better Jew and to be a better Christian. I think he quoted that from Cardinal O'Connor before. But no one's out to convert anyone, but you can share in the joy of the other person's, holiday.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I often tell the story of I always wanted to go to one Christmas Eve Mass. I had a lot of friends that did that. My problem was that I'm not a night person, so that was really, really difficult for me to be up that late. But however, I did it. I went to St. Patty's Cathedral, the most famous in the world, Midnight Mass. I get in. I was stunned by the magnificence of it all and the thousands and thousands of people that were there. I take my seat, and I said to the person I had met there to go in with, I said, I'm probably the only Jew in here. A guy behind me taps me on the shoulder. He says, no, lady, I'm Jewish.
I
did get a huge kick out of that. No, lady,
yeah.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
So I'm
not
going to let you go until you talk about Synagogue Connect.
Okay, but before
we're
that,
going a little over,
about,
but that's important. Go ahead.
One thing about, well, Synagogue Connect, we're a little early because we're planning our next year. So we could do that the next show, actually. We're in the off-season right now, so to speak. So let's save that for next time. But I do want to share with you.
Okay, but I know it's your baby. So just for people to just say what it is, a global network of synagogues.
Sure, yes, a global network of synagogues of all denominations who are being encouraged to, who have agreed to open their doors to young Jews, 18 to 26 at the moment. That's who we're starting with. And basically welcoming them in, especially on the holidays, especially on the high holidays right now is our big project. We're thinking about Passover coming up and are going to be meeting soon to figure out how we're going to deal with that. But if you go to synagogueconnect.org, www.synagogueconnect.org, you'll see what it's all about, and if you want to find a synagogue in your neighborhood that is a member of our network and plug in the city that you're in, you'll find something from all denominations. So there's that regarding, and we'll,
yeah,
we'll,
I wanted
to
give
more
it
to come
a shout
on that,
out.
Yeah. Yeah,
even though we got time, because as you know, it takes repetition and repetition and repetition till someone finally says, hey, I got to check that out.
Right.
Rabbi, what message would you like to leave our audience with?
Well, there's the message, I think, is tonight for those who are either standing in for their Catholic and Christian colleagues. And I used to do this all the time at the newspaper. I always volunteered to work Christmas Eve and Christmas because the news doesn't stop, but people do want to spend time with their families. So I would be there and a couple of the other Jewish reporters and editors, as Joe said before, to stand in, for them so they could be with their families. So interestingly, if you're thinking about this, tonight is the celebration of the birth of, for Jews, probably the most famous Jew in history, who was born a Jew and lived his life as a Jew, as a rabbi, and died as a Jew. All his family were Jews. All the apostles were Jews. Something to think about when you're in church, that the relationship between us is so strong that here we are, a holiday that's a national holiday. But what is it about? For me, it's about the idea that someone's celebrating the birth of most famous Jew in history, as I like to say.
You can say the name Jesus Christ.
Well, that's not his last name. It's Jesus of they had no last names. Jesus, son of Joseph and Miriam, by the way, was her original name.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I would also like you to end with a special prayer for all of us. I always have, and I have a man of faith, your special prayer for our listeners.
Well, I think this is a prayer that Jews say three times a day, because we're required to pray, asked to pray three times a day. And this prayer is basically a prayer of peace, and it asks, may the one who creates peace on high bring peace to us and to all Israel and to all who dwell on earth. And we say, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rabbi. Thank you so much for being our guest. I really do love having you participate. You're always welcome. I'd like to have you more often as well. Tomorrow, Father Brian McWeeny on Christmas Day, joining our celebration of the holidays. And I want to conclude with my special prayer for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted, manifested and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. Folks, go out and make someone happy today. Do a random act of kindness. Pay it forward. Pay it backward. As Voltaire said, I choose to be happy because it is good for my health. And on that note, we ask that you sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you could do that right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mass. Thank you. God bless you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.